American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, October the... What is the date today? I don't even know. It's October the 29th, 2007. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these news stories and check my facts and figures, such as they are, by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on RAN Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, and Radio Red Mercury. And what a great show I've got for you today. I'm going to have to seriously practice my lack of breathing ability, because I'm here to tell you I've got so much stuff to come at you with here. I don't even have time. Oh my God, there's just so much data. So let's get into feedback. Dear Sean, another piece of feedback. And you know what, on the birthday thing, thank you so much. I mean, I got totally swamped. I got like dosed with like, birthday wishes. It was very, very nice that people did that. And birthdays are a big deal to me. I like birthdays. Birthdays are important. You know, it's a celebration of you. It's a celebration that you exist. Hoorah. I mean, there's lots of other holidays. There's 4th of July and Christmas and, you know, everything else and the religious holidays, yada, yada, yada. But your birthday is a holiday for you. You know, and some people, I don't like my birthday. Well, that's ridiculous. That's just retarded. You know, you should probably, you know, seriously think about, you know, what you could do to make your birthday better. If you've had a lot of bad birthday experiences, why not seriously just, you know, try to promote your own birthday? Throw your own birthday party. Well, other people should throw your birthday party. Otherwise, you're just not really loved. And oh, cut it out. Just throw your own party, have a good time, and no one can, you know, take away your joy if you don't let them. So just have a party, have a good time. That's what I say. Dear Sean, in response to your story about the virtual reality system at Iowa State University, yes, I talked about that last show, I'm a graduate from ISU, or ISU, or Iowa State University. I was involved in the virtual reality department. I now am living inside of a machine. No, it doesn't say that. I can tell you that the project is heavily military funded. No, really? I've been in the C-6 many times. It always just blows me away, which is kind of funny because the C-6 is the name of a Canadian machine gun, which would also blow you away. On a side note, the entire time I was at ISU, we were constantly working on getting the funding from the university to pay for you to come down and to speak. You could get a tour of the C-6 firsthand. You know, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. I'm very honored that you would do that. I did go and speak at a college in New York. I don't really, you know, it'd be distressing if school started asking me to come there to speak. What the hell would I talk about? I mean, you'd have to, if you're going to ask me to come speak at your school, you better ask me what you want me to speak about, because, you know, holy crap, there's just so much to talk about. I know there is a number of Rant Media fans out there, so I hope they are still working on it. University likes when ranters come and speak. Henry Rollins is a regular. Anyway, thanks for talking about Iowa State. Sure. No big deal. I mean, I have no propensity for Iowa State, I do have to say. I mean, if you know, the ant farm happened to have a virtual reality machine that was the best on the planet, I'd be like, go ant farm. So unfortunately, I'm throwing in with the tech. Yeah, it's true. When the people think of Iowa, they don't usually think of tech. Well, they do now. But ISU is quite the tech college. It's even the birthplace of the world's first digital computer. Adam, who's really into ISU. So good for you, Adam. Good for you. Glad that you're liking. I'm talking about your university. Oh, my God. If they got me to go down there and actually speak at a school, I think I'd freak out. Anyway, another piece of feedback. Oh, God, I'm dying. Deshaun, get this. I've downloaded around 100 great books from the Gutenberg Project, which is a great project. If you haven't, do a Google search. Gutenberg, G-U-T-E-N-Berg, B-E-R-G, Project. I originally thought it'd be neat to see how much public domain literature you can fit onto one 8-gigabyte flash drive. Those 100 books are like 80 megs of data when uncompressed. So if there happens to be 1,000 great books, you can fit them all onto one CDR. If there happen to be 2,500 great books, which I assure you there are, and you put them on a zip file, you can fit them all in a 1 gigabyte flash drive. Well, you know, you see where he's going with this. If you had 2,500 great books and were reading one a week, you'd probably be dead or senile before you finished them. I'll take the rest of your life. That's one measly gigabyte. Now imagine how many 1 gigabyte lumps of data you have on your hard drive, and think about how many minutes and seconds of enjoyment you've gotten out of each 1 gigabyte lump. Wow. Now imagine how many 1 gigabyte lumps of data are generated in the world today, every millisecond of every day. Is this a good thing? This is the question from the Unnameable. Now this is a really great question, because there's so much out there. There's so much data out there that you have to make a decision. You have to stand up and go, whoa. You know, there's just so much going on here. This is where the idea of choice, of free will, of function over form. If the knowledge you're putting in the in your head doesn't actually make you stronger, better, faster, enlighten you in some way, or entertain you, then it's fluff. If you got no noise that you're putting in your head, like some people talk about the news, right? The news is important. It's good to have news. I mean, it's a newsreel show. But I like to talk about things that are kind of sometimes inspiring, so that you can understand the guide, so you know how to vote, so you can react on this. I don't like covering a lot of tabloid crap, because, you know, it's fluff. There's no meat to it. And you can tell. I mean, certain stories that got the meat to it, you can kind of see, wow, that's important, and it's important to talk about and spread awareness about it, and so that people understand that certain things are bad. Death camps are bad. There's something you need to watch out with the current administration as well. I mean, some of the stuff that they're doing is also bad. So I'm hoping that, you know, some of the stuff that I talk about, you know, the news fluff, and it's not meant to terrorize you. I mean, you turn on the news, what is it? It's just like panic stories and drug commercials. Are you depressed from these massive stories we're telling you? Well, Zoloft may be for you. In other news, we arrested 15 people for smoking a joint and shot them. You know, this is the kind of news stories that we got floating around the world. Kind of crazy stuff. So Unnameable brings up a really, really good point in the fact that confusion is the order of the day. People want to make sure that you're not able to actually follow what's going on in the real world. Very, very dangerous stuff. Case in point. For example, if there's a true story that comes out, right, something scary, something damning, something that the administration doesn't want to have out there, what do? Do they deny it? No. They put out 9 versions of the same story. So everyone's drinking from the fire hose, you know? Same with the thing that was going on over in the war. They would have a big tent. All the reporters would go to the feeding trough, and they would be fed information from the military. This is how it's done. If you give people the source, they will go for whatever is easy. You know, they got people working around the clock, you know, psychiatrists and stuff, coming up with new messages and new ways in which to, you know, essentially pwn your mind. So it's important that you think for yourself, choose what you put inside of your head, think to yourself, you know, before you settle in an orchard, check the fruit on the trees. Before you start reading a bunch of supremacist literature, maybe you might want to look at the kind of people that supremacists are, be them black supremacists, white supremacists, Jewish supremacists, jihadists, Republicans, Democrats, whatever, any kind of supremacist literature. You want to look at the people who are on the other side of that coin. You want to look at the eventuality, the people who are considered to be, you know, the icons, the leaders of that movement, and go, hey, do I want to be that way? Same thing goes for the whole, you know, hula love crowd, you know, throwing rocks and just, you know, eating mushrooms, dropping acid, and wasting their lives doing not much of anything. You know what I mean? I mean, there's no reason to just go be free love because you decide you got to check the fruit on the trees before you settle in the orchard. Take a look at what these people are about. Take a look at what these people are actually doing. Take a look at what these people really do every day. And once you can see that, then you can make a decision, an informed decision, about the kind of things you want to do with your life, including the most important choices about information you put inside your head. Very important. Dear Sean, lots of feedback here. I thank you, Sim, and all those involved for both Newsreel and Patrolling. You guys and gals all rock. Yes, we do. We rock hard. I believe I can shed some light on the current anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish thread that's been going on the last couple of shows. Now, just to clarify here, I don't understand it. I don't understand why people hate Jews. I know that there's a lot of it. I know the white supremacists have a problem with Jews. I know that there's a lot of hatred for Jewish people. The Jewish people are, you know, they've been persecuted and stuff. I'm trying to figure that out. I don't really understand it. This might get a bit long-winded, so take a deep breath, and I'll try to keep it simple. But it's one of those topics that defies logic. Well, let's get through it here. First, We're on the same page. There are some terms it pays to be familiar with. Jews may also be referred to as the Semitic peoples or the Zionists, or Semitism, Zionism being equivalent to the word Jewish. So the movement to persecute Jews is known as anti-Semitism or anti-Zionism. Okay, well, whatever. Well, I'll just call them anti-Jew for now. There are three phases, historically, to anti-Semitism: racial, religious, and the so-called new anti-Semitism that puked itself into existence in the 20th century. Okay. With the term Jew being applied to the religion, a race, and a nation of things can get rather confusing. Anti-Semitism is the hatred of all these things and more. Thousands of years ago in the Middle East, tribes fought ferociously for resources with self-styled prophets telling people, it's okay, God told us to go over there, take their stuff, and rape their women to make it all okay. In other words, business as usual. The hatred of Jews as a race stems from this period of tribal infighting and continues in the Middle East and beyond into the present day. Thank you! Thank you very much. So, time to start forgiving each other. That's the deal here. Pretty sure there's a couple of religious figures who actually said, hey, why don't you just forgive each other? Just a thought, you know, maybe forgiveness might be hard. It's a hell of a lot less hard than, say, you know, blowing up your kids. You know, maybe you should just forgive people. The hatred of the Jewish religion, ironically, can be laid at the feet of the dead Jew on a stick. Yes, there are a great many Christians who believe the Jewish people are evil because they are implicit in the crucifixion of Jesus. Well, okay, I will solve that right now. Okay, this is for all the Christians out there. Bad Jew. Bad Jew. Okay, they've been punished. Now, moving right along, 2,000-year-old dead guy, who gives a fuck? All right, let's keep moving. Noble Christians who held this belief are Martin Luther, Protestant, the founder of the Protestant Church, who's dead now, and actor Mel Gibson, who repeatedly belongs to a Catholic sect that holds strong anti-Semitic beliefs. Well, yeah, whatever. I don't know, Mel. Mel's crazy. He can do what he wants. It also doesn't help the Jews vehemently deny the divinity of Christ. Well, so what? Lots of people deny the divinity of Christ. If they want to deny the divinity of Christ, fucking A, rock on. You go, you know, worship dreidels or little spinning things or whatever the hell you're doing. But, you know, if you don't like Jesus, fair ball. Merry Christmas to you. We don't give a fuck, right? You know, hey, it's okay. You cannot like Jesus. That's all right. I don't mind. We're not going to shoot you for it. Let's all just carry on here. Fundamentalist Christian worldview, seeing that they believe that Jesus is the only way to get into heaven. Well, then that's their problem, isn't it? Why don't you worry about your own life, your own circle of control? Yes, this is already pretty fucked up. But as the man said, just wait, there's more. This brings us to the 20th century and the Nazis, which, unfortunately, is slowly being weeded out of our literature in high schools. How much do you really know about the Nazis? Yes, everyone should try to make it through the rise and fall of the Third Reich. You want Wreck-It Media? Get through that bastard. If you can read the rise and fall of the Third Reich, I will never, ever doubt your power of reading again. That is a brutal book to get through. Very fascinating, but important to read. The Jews, in the time before World War II, were a significant economic force in Germany. Whoa. There's some Jewish people who have money, all right? They probably are family-focused. The Jews are up to their eyeballs in many upper-class trades, including diamonds. Their practice of hiring only other Jews and family members complied with their wealth makes them unpopular with the native working-class German folk. Well, okay, hang on now. If we're all wogs, we're hanging out, we're being all wog-like, and another wog shows up and says, hey, man, can you give me a job? I'd be like, sure, man, you're a wog. We all see things eye to eye. We want to work together. We want to promote harmony. Why not? Makes sense to me. You're going to hire your brother. That's how the world works. It's not fair. It's not fair to the people. They took our jobs. Fuck off. All right? You better get your shit together. Okay? It's not like, you know, come on now. You're going to, we hate them because they hire their friends. Fuck off. This dislike was what Hitler exploited in the rise to power, making more ironic since Hitler himself was a Jew. Really, being Jewish is no passed down through matriarchal lines. If your mother is a Jew, you are a Jew, no matter who your father was. Really? Really? I don't know if I believe that. You know, I don't know if I buy that. That sounds like horse shit to me. It sounds like everybody here is human. Let's get past the whole Jew thing. They're humans that have got, like, this Jewish opinion. If your mother is a Jew, you're a Jew no matter who your father was. Fuck that. You know, what if, you know, you're a wog and you're a male? And that way, if one of your parents is wog, no matter what your child was, if he was black or white or Jewish or you know, maybe he was a banker, I don't know. Whatever your child is, he's now a wog. Doesn't matter. Wog trumps Jewism.
or Christianity or blackness or white guy or native. Yep, you're now WOG. That's it. One brush. Everybody gets painted. Total world domination of WOGdom. No more reasons to shoot each other. When the Jewish bankers refused to loan Hitler money, however, Nazism was just an excuse to strip all the Jews of their wealth and redistribute it among Hitler and his cronies. So, once again, using people's weakness and hatred to whip everybody into a frenzy to attack the Jews, or terrorists, or protesters, or anything that is the flavor of the day that they want to vilify. Muslims! Neo-Nazis, the modern Nazi movement, is mostly made up of disaffected, unemployed young white males who wish to blame their problems on someone else. Now, this, unfortunately, is not true. There's a lot of really, really dangerously clever motherfuckers in the neo-Nazi movement. And you better be aware of the fact that it's not scary if they're walking around waving Nazi flags with shaved heads. Those guys aren't frightening. The frightening guys are the guys like in the Tom Clancy movie with the swastika on the underside of his watch. You know, those are the guys you got to watch out for, the people who hide it, who breed the ideas and murmur. These are the guys you got to watch out for. Okay, because they spread their poison and their venom, dividing people, you know. Anyway, the great Jewish conspiracy to take over the world is what they talk about. Basically, they're the white version of Al-Qaeda, distributing money, guns, paramilitary training, or for those who would use it as the enemies of mudhood religion across the West. Now, I admit, I have a problem with Israel, the nation. Israel, I got news for you. Israel doesn't exist. Not real, doesn't exist. Okay, but this is what the guy says. This, I'm quoting him now. I'll admit I have a problem with Israel, the nation. The Jews are nice people who actually do what they preach in general. Rabbis have been some of the most centered spiritual people in this planet. However, I have the deepest respect for Jewish religion. Israel, however, is a partnership with America, has turned Palestine into what can only be called a very large death camp. Hamas is far more complicated organization than Western media pretends it to be. Unfortunately, the militant Hamas members that send suicide bombers into Israel get all the press. Well, you know, that's kind of worthwhile. If you're sending suicide bombers out there, that kind of puts you in the shithead category. Sorry. You know, killing people is not so good. You know, not so good. It surprises most people that Hamas members, that there are Hamas members in the Israeli government working inside the system, and Israelis themselves don't consider them terrorists. Is it any surprise that Palestinians are pissed off at Israel and America when they hold a free democratic election and America ousts the democratically elected regime because they didn't like the results? Yeah, there's problems. There's problems over there, you know. But Hitler was democratically elected too. Let's remember that. You know, you gotta kind of take one with the other here. It's never as easy as all of that. And this is all from Dr. Mindbender. He's going on, he's talking about a little bit more, politics and stuff like that's involved there. Listen, I'm not here to talk about, you know, nobody's right. All right, nobody's right. Israel's wrong. Palestine's wrong. They're all fucking wrong. The whole area needs to just stop killing people. I don't care who's guilty. I don't give a fuck. If Israel pushed through things too far, I don't care. Palestine, 6-day war, 3 people attack Israel, don't give a shit. War's over now. Stop killing each other. All right? Message from God. Stop killing each other. Okay? I guarantee, whether it's Allah, Mullah, Christ, the Jew guy, Moses, whatever. Okay? Really? Giant frog in the jungle? Don't know, but I guarantee you, ultimate sentient intelligence of the universe definitely wants you to stop fucking killing each other. Specifically your kids. Specifically, I think that if you're going to, you know, start slowly, you know, well, Sean, that's unreal if you ask us to stop killing each other. We've been killing each other for thousands of years. Hell, we like it. We're good at it. Most of our science comes from killing each other. Yeah, okay, well, why don't we ease into this? We'll start with, like, a 7-step or 12-step recovery program. We'll just start with, like, talk about not killing each other. How about that? We'll talk about, hey, maybe forgiveness is a good idea. And, you know, a few first few guys get shot. Then eventually, a few more people go, well, you know, fuck it. Doesn't matter. Let's get drunk. You know, let's just forget it. I've oftentimes thought the solution for the Middle East would be to go in there with, like, C1 galaxies and stuff like that and just drop hay bale after hay barrel of marijuana all over that entire region of the world. Free! From the sky. They'd all get high, forget their short-term and long-term memory takes a complete dump, you know, hit them with some ecstasy and stuff so everybody has orgies and shit. And then it's really hard to be killing each other when you got the Palestinian-Israeli orgies going on. You know, and eventually the kids all kind of, you know, party together. They get together, they start talking over the internet. They start, you know, forgetting about all the hatred and why they hate each other. You ever been mad at a friend? You ever been mad at a friend? Seriously, you ever get really mad at a friend? And for a while there, you're like, that's it, fuck them, they're done, I'm cutting them off. You know, that guy's, he's totally changed, he's an asshole. I'm not even going to totally, you know, listen to this guy. You know? But then you think about it for a bit, and you're like, well, you know, he's a good buddy, and he just pisses me off. Because he tries, you know, he tries, and he's just stupid, fuck it, I forgive him. And that's what we gotta do, okay? There's some really nice Palestinians. There's some really nice Israelis. There's some really nice Russians. There's probably a few people that on some level are nice in Al-Qaeda. Okay, maybe their software is a little damaged. You know, I mean, there are limits. Okay, there are limits. Yeah, you know what? There are people that are so venomous, that have been poisoned so badly that they think that, you know what, my only way to achieve salvation is to murder children. Yeah, okay, you know what? You get, you know, the 39-cent solution here. But only after we seriously try everything in our power to rehabilitate your sorry ass from a lifetime of brainwashing. And if that still doesn't work and we still can't get it out of you, then, you know, maybe we'll put you on an island and you can go fight it out or something. Because there's got to be a way we can get past this. I mean, I got hope for the future. You know, I really do. You know, I think that we do have a chance if we can just find it within ourselves to start talking about forgiveness. And then, you know, we'll take the next few steps. A little bit further up the chain is, how about we not kill kids? And then maybe, you know, killing kids, well, when everyone's like a big kid, and then we'll just not kill each other. Wouldn't that be cool? No more killing each other. Hey, good plan. Word up! What's up, Mr. K and Sim? I was listening to Newsreel, and I caught a bit of the automated gun killing the artillery personnel in South Africa. This reminds me of a great film titled Westworld. The film is about robots and how they malfunction. Yes, really good world. Yul Brynner's in it, plays a gunslinger. Awesome movie. Kind of dated, but still cool. The article reminds me of a movie. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Yes, of course I've seen it. The movie is similar to the Terminator movies, but done in 1973. Well, comparing it to the Terminator is quite a step. Do not compare it to the Terminator, because, you know, if you're expecting the Terminator, you're going to be disappointed, because, again, made in 1973. But good movie. Tolerance Zero is his name, which means that his tolerance is actually infinite, because zero, you know, expands for forever. How big is nothing? But anyway, I digress. Dear Sean! Lots of feedback, eh? 22 minutes into the show, I haven't even talked about news yet! Oh my god, I've got so much stuff. Dear Sean, I saw this from Blacklisted News. Glenn Beck ripped viciously into people who believe 9/11 was an inside job. Now, I fully understand that is his opinion. But what got me as scary was the way they called a protester on Bill Maher is getting a little bit dangerous. Because now it's... there was a protester on Bill Maher, okay? And, They called the protester on Bill Maher as getting a little bit dangerous because it was now off the internet, and people who believe in these theories are the kind of people that are dangerous activists. People like Timothy McVeigh come from. Yes! Oh, yes! That's where Tim McVeigh came from. Tim McVeigh, the same Tim McVeigh who, when they blew up the Oklahoma City bombings, all the security camera footage disappeared, all the known connections to, like, you know, Middle Eastern people and stuff like that. Yeah, lots. That whole Tim McVeigh thing sounds an awful lot like a patsy. Tim McVeigh seemed like an okay guy. You know, I know a little bit about Tim. He seemed like he wasn't a bad shit. Played a lot of D&D. Seemed like a pretty good dude. You know, so I think that there might be some shit going on here that we're not too sure about. But when they start saying people who disagree, you disagree with us. And that's what they do. They make fun of you. They're like, oh, you believe in 9/11. You're a crazy person. That turns into name-calling. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. Because the truth is, well, why? Why do they do that? Because they're terrified. That's why. What if we're right? Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what these right-wing psychos would say if it was proven that 9/11? Like, never mind. Okay, we'd all do our happy dance and Alex Jones would be the president. Okay, great. Once you get past that, what about the mind share of these poor, psycho-devoted Republican motherfuckers out there? What happens to them? Holy crap. How would you trust anything ever again? How would you bring yourself to support a governmental... How would you believe in it? How would you believe in anything when something that you were so convinced of, something you wrapped yourself so tightly in that flag, and you realize that the flag's a rag and you're just, you know, part of the symbols for the symbol-minded? You know, what happens then? Well, it's up to us, the truthers, to not say I told you so, to not throw rocks at these people, to take them, to hold them, to help them put their heads back together again, because there's going to be a lot of them, because it's going to get out there. People are going to learn the truth, and they will weep. There will be people, you want to talk about prophecy of the future, man, there will come a day when people will become so disoriented. It'll be like the Nazis after World War II. How do you think the Germans felt after World War II? You won't need to have to wonder for too long, because the crazy people in the United States, that's what they're going to be feeling like. He goes on to say here, sorry, I just get on a tangent there. It's a fact that dissent and protest is rapidly demonized as being un-American and anarchistic in its intentions by the media. Whatever happened to the right to protest? While they pay lip service to the fact at the beginning of their interview, they quickly got pigeonholed and ripped anyone that departs from the standard line. I don't know if you can use this on Newsreel or not, but it really concerns me. Regards, the Renegade Rabbit. Well, I think it's very valid. I think it's very valid, and I think we need to understand where these people are coming from when, you know, why they vilify you so much is because they're terrified. They live in fear. That's why. Dear Newsreel, it's actually the show. I'm 17. I've been a fan for a few years. Keep up the good work. You helped me survive the harsh, confusing, angry world. Well, actually, the world is not harsh, confusing, or angry. That is your reaction to it. You will now go and read the book, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, and it will change the way you see reality. Thank you for calling. Anyway, goes on to say, I thought I would share a bit of info I found interesting. I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I never knew where Milwaukee was. And I thought it was just a drill. Which was somewhere on top of the areas, which was somewhere in the top areas for crime not too many years ago. We have hundreds of internal problems with not only our local government, with pretty much every little organization running anything. But that's not why I'm sending you this. The neighborhood I live in is on the edge of the ghetto. Prostitutes are the norm on the streets. You can't turn your head without finding a dealer. There's been plenty of shootings, especially this year. Well, our neighborhood newsletter just released this day. I'm going to type it out word for word since I can send you a copy. Video surveillance, cameras keeping watch. There are some unique high-tech scanning eyes for several high-profile, high-crime areas in the 4th Aldermanic District elsewhere in the city. Yes, they're putting the cameras up. And where do you suppose they got that from? They got that from England. Okay, look at these countries where they're dealing with heavy crime problems. That's where they're imprinting these designs from. So what you do is you go do research and see how people are dealing with it over there, and then you can deal with it over here on the grassroots level. He goes on to say, does this mean we're slowly turning into Half-Life 2 BioShock security society? The cameras watch everything everywhere. They send the cops if something looks suspicious. Well, there's also the problem with police response. Once they're automated, computers can divide what is and isn't breaking the law and send security drones armed with Vulcan cannons. Don't get me wrong, I'm sick of all the crap I have to deal with and hear about on a daily basis, such as homeless people holding people at gunpoint on their porch and raping a guy's wife after taking all their money. But this intense security, although I feel needed, is still kind of creepy. I got a better idea. Why don't people just take accountability and responsibility for their own selves and their own homes, and if people attack you, you defend yourself. Reasonable force, all that kind of stuff. You know, start giving out tasers to people. So you don't shoot them, maybe you just, you know, give them a ride the lightning for a bit. That's why I really like tasers. I think, you know, what if we fought wars with tasers? Tag, you're out, and they throw them in the back of a wagon. You know, that might be an idea. Maybe it's better than shooting them, I guess. Sent in by Gherkin. Gherkin. Now, on to sort yourself out. My God, 30 minutes into the show, I'm finally getting to sort yourself out. And this one's a big one. This guy sent me a list of questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through these questions as quickly as I can to try to give you the answers. What is your view of the future? Pessimistic? Optimistic? What threats and dangers do you foresee? Please download Tales from the After Now. That's what I'm afraid of. However, I am optimistic because young people are generally smarter than I am. So we're looking good, but we have to be aware. Think of me as like warning tape on the sides of the internet highway saying, hello, hey, you might want to be careful with what you're doing because there could be some danger here. Let's make sure we stay on target. What advice would you offer to people looking to do an indie TV show similar to yours? I would say don't do it because there's not a lot of profit there. What I would more focus on is focus on a method for you to make money so that you can live comfortably and then you're not controlled by the TV show. The problem with TV shows is is if it gets popular and it starts making money, you then become controlled by it and you lose creative control. The creative control then goes to either your fans or the people who are financing you. So you're never ever really able to do truly creative stuff. That's why Rant Media has been never taken on corporate sponsorship. Some people are a little slow on the uptake with that. What are your views on guns and gun control? Well, there's two schools of thought on this. First one states, guns are okay, give them out to everybody. Gun control is, and that's one school. The other school of thought is, well, if there's more guns, more people are going to get shot. Yeah, you know, personally, I think that an armed society is a polite society. You know, I think that people should be able to have guns. But by the same token, how can you say, Sean, stop killing each other, and yet you're not a fan of gun control? Well, people will kill each other no matter what. Okay, so now, that said, there are bad people in the world. Let's understand that, too. I mean, I'm not all Pollyanna over here. I mean, you know, if you're going to be... It's a really tough one to nail this one down, but let's put it to you this way. And I know people are going to scream hypocrite no matter what I say, but no, I'm not a fan of gun control. Yes, I think people should own firearms, and yes, I think you should be pretty much able to purchase whatever you want, but I'm a big believer in accountability. If you are going to be handing out guns to people and you're going to have, like, Texas-style laws, okay, then you know what? It'll get really exciting for the first 6 months, and then I think things will quiet down. What kind of feedback are you getting out there from the world? Lots of patrolling fans out there? What an interesting question. What an interesting question. Yes, there are a lot of patrolling fans. How do you get ideas for new episodes of patrolling? You always seem to have something fresh to pull out of your hat. I have no idea. I think I'm slowly regressing into a state of, like, complete insanity. Can we expect a steady flow of new patrolling episodes in the future? No! Never expect anything from me because I'm doing this largely for free. Except for the donations from people who donate to Newsreel and to the show, in which case, I love you. But I tell you what, here's the deal. You keep sending me stuff and money and supporting me, I will keep producing episodes. Fair trade? Could you tell us a bit about your time in the Canadian Army? No! And what unit did you serve? Not talking about it. What was your experience like for you? Suffering begets wisdom, and in the Army I grew very wise. Would you recommend people in Sweden, where there's risk of war pretty much nil, join the Army? I would recommend anyone to join the Army if they can use it to advance themselves in their lives. Experience can be good. A little suffering is also well. But you must be very careful and consider your options. I think for some people it's a good idea, for other people it is not. How does your wife cope with your idiosyncratic behavior and views? I have no idea. Because she's a teardrop from God, like the dedication in the book. She's amazing. What kind of money system would you advocate? Gold standard? I don't know anything about economics. I can't comment. What was your view of the current economic system? Are they headed for collapse? I would say probably, because, you know, I mean, there's no, in the United States, there's no backing for the money. So, yeah, I think it's headed for the tank. But I don't know, again, don't know much about economics. What do you have to say on the topic of avian flu? Big threat? I'm going to say no. I think it's a big scare. What kind of redundant low-tech communication channels do you advocate? Ham radio, carrier pigeon, smoke signals? All of the above. You betcha. I'm thinking ham radio, shortwave radio, anything that gets people to talk. Fair fucking ball. Think it's a good idea. I think people having FM broadcasters driving around the city broadcasting Newsreel in their cars to other people in their cars on popular radio stations, jamming the popular ad-ridden radio station with my show. I think it's funny. Of course, it's illegal, but it's still funny. What's the best way to infiltrate politics and media and act out acts of subversion? What approach would you recommend? I wouldn't infiltrate politics and media and act out acts of subversion. What I would do is I would get into politics and media and actually do some good. Don't just get in there to throw pies at people. Get in there to promote change in a positive way. They're going to find it way more rewarding, and at the end of it, you don't look like an asshole. What activity should... next question. What should one do when working inside of a company? Any tips for mole activity? No! Take over the company from within. Apply WOG-type traditions. Because, you know, we're not evil. We're not the bad guys. Okay, we're good people. It's just that we'd like to, you know, kind of make the world a better place. That's the whole idea. You want a mole inside of a company? Yeah, sure, that's fine. Get in there and stuff. Depends on the company. If the company's bad, you're not gonna change anything by spray painting something on a wall. You gotta get in there and change policy. You know, you gotta get in there and change people's minds. Winning of hearts and minds. That's what it's all about. What kind of economic practices should the autonomous individual engage in? I'm not going to tell you that, dude. That's for your own decision to make up. Making your own choice is the only freedom you got. Don't look at me to tell you what to do. I'm talking about stuff like investments, getting rid of debts, buying gold, tangibles, buying legally produced goods, joining interesting free banks. Okay, look, I don't know anything about economics, all right? I'm horrible with money. I'm no good with it. I mean, that's why, you know, I'm essentially broke. Dude, listen, you want some advice? Buy land. That's what Mae West said. You know what? It's the only thing they're not making any more of. What kind of budget do you have for patrolling? Nothing. How many people are involved in the production? Generally two. How long does it take to shoot an episode? It's all done live, real time. What kind of gear do we use? Talk to Sim. I have no idea. It's a camera. It costs a lot of money. Are you getting some serious cash from donations? Deity knows you deserve it. I like that. Deity knows you deserve it. It all depends on what you say, serious cash. I would say that I make probably hundreds of dollars a year. Is that, that's probably fairly accurate. I make hundreds of dollars a year. But that's, it's not thousands of dollars a year. It's hundreds of dollars a year. And I think that's fair to say. And you know what? Hey, I'm okay with that. People who donate, I'm kind of look at people who donate as it's kind of a sacred thing. The money that people send me for patrolling and for newsreel and stuff like that, I think it's a pretty amazing, and I feel very humbled by it, to be honest with you. How'd you come up with the idea for patrolling? It sort of showed up. Just kind of do that sort of stuff, you know? Whatever, I'm always teaching, always talking. What kind of priorities should survival-minded individual have when building up his or her preparedness level? Okay, your number one priority is don't be paranoid. Number two, save a lot of money. More people, okay, are living in cities than living out of cities. As well, get a good car. In what order should one build a bob? Should it build a bob? A bug-out bag. Oh, I see what he's saying. Stock food, acquire weapons. Also, what about skills? Well, you know, dude. Start planning for the future in a positive way. Don't plan for the future in a negative way. Okay? Yeah, it's a good idea to have your bug-out bag and all that kind of stuff. A lot of the stuff I talk about patrolling is entertainment, okay? You can't take... I'm talking about tinfoil hats, for Christ's sakes, guys. Come on now. We're all just having good fun, okay? It's not all totally serious. Weapons and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's important to own a firearm. Yeah, it's important to, you know, have a bag and have, you know, a couple of weeks worth of food and water kicking around the house, maybe a generator. Good idea. But don't make it your focus in life. You know, so many people's like hippies, you know, they go and they get so wrapped up in like save the whales that they forget to bathe and no one takes them seriously because they just look fucking crazy. What goals should autonomous individuals try to achieve in today's society? Your own! Your own. What goals should autonomous individuals try to achieve in today's society? You need to get to know yourself. Maybe a little bit of meditation. Think about what you want to go for, what you want your life to be about, what you want your eulogy to say at your funeral, and then work towards it. I must give you credit for the technique you use a lot, where you cut out all the extraneous space in sentences so there's no dead meat, rather just hardcore flow of information. That's called how I talk. This is fucking great, in my opinion, and it's a great way to prevent boredom. It also keeps the viewer focused on the material at hand. Did you come up with this technique yourself? Yes, I guess. I mean, I learned my way of talking. You know who probably influenced my pattern of speech more than anybody else? And once I tell you, you'll probably recognize it right away. I've got heroes. Robin Williams is one of them. Robin Williams is funny as hell, as far as I'm concerned. Jello Biafra, big influence on me. Thought he was great. Like, a lot more people would like Noam Chomsky if the guy didn't put you to sleep every time he opened his mouth. What's the deal with Moldavite anyway? Look, not everything's serious. Yeah, there's some psychic properties about the rock. I don't know. Does the stuff work? I'm not going to say it doesn't work. I'm going to say the jury's out on that one. What kind of effects are you getting? I can fly. Any tips on what grade to buy? Well, it only comes from one region in Moldavia. And you know what? Hey, I'm not saying I believe in magic rocks. Okay, I'm just saying that there could be energies we don't understand. What are your five favorite Heinlein books? Look, I've only ever read one Heinlein book, which is Starship Troopers. That's my favorite one. I've got another couple ones I want to read. I want to read The Cat, Stranger in a Strange Land, which is really weird. Haven't read it yet, so I can't comment on it. I've also got Farnham's Freehold, which I have not read, but apparently there's a lot of racial stuff in there. So it's controversial. But if I was going to recommend a book, I would recommend Starship Troopers as my favorite. What are your five favorite patrolling episodes? I don't watch patrolling. I can't stand it. If I cannot watch myself. I don't know what you guys think. You think I'm so narcissistic? I sit around my house and I just watch this stuff? No, man. No, doesn't work like that. Got any favorite methods or concepts for real from the realms of personal effectiveness and time management? Stuff like getting things done and such like. Yes, Brian Tracy's, you can get it off BitTorrent. Go get Brian Tracy's The Science of Self-Confidence. Okay, that is a huge course. Do that one. Listen to all of that. Then download The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Then download and listen to How to Make Friends and Influence People. And then you want to download and listen to, what's another good one? Brian, and just about anything Brian Tracy does is really, really good. I like a lot of his stuff. Some of it's kind of fluffy, but the Science of Self-Confidence is magic. That stuff's the goods. That was sent to me by Jax. I think that was from Sweden because he's got two J's in his name. And as everybody knows, there's two J's in Swedish names. Now, I'm into the news. Oh, my God. I've got like 10 minutes left, and I got to do the news. Okay. RFID News. Slipstream sent me this one. Children are being tracked by microchips embedded in their uniforms in a trial at a secondary school. Yes, of course, it's all for the safety of the kids. RFID going in the kids. We're putting in an old people, now children. The devices are used to monitor pupils' movements and register their arrival to class on a teacher's computer. Supply teachers can also be alerted if a student is likely to misbehave. Meep, 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 meep. You, student 43579, lay down on the floor. Comply, comply. The chip connects with the teacher's computer to show a photograph of the pupil, data about the academic performance, and whether he or she is in the correct classroom. How Orwellian is that? It also restricts access to areas of the school. I'm sorry, you're not allowed in the library. This is the restricted zone. The radio frequency identification system is being tested at Hunger Hill School in Doncaster. What a great name for a school. Welcome to Hunger Hills Orphanage. Holy shit. In South Yorkshire, 10 pupils began wearing the chip sewn into their uniforms 8 months ago. Oh yeah, we're hearing about it now. It's already been going on for 8 months. I love this stuff. In mercenary news, this was sent to me by Bucky Fuller. Very good story. Yes, if you didn't think Blackwater was going to stay out of the news, I love reporting on these guys because this is the problem with private security sometimes. If having them run around Iraq like loose cannons wasn't bad enough, well, now, hang on. They do their job, okay? They're paid to do a job, and they do their job well, okay? So let's not shit on them too much. Let's not shit on them too much. If you don't like the fact that what they're doing, let's look at the people giving them the money to do it. They are the sword. Look at the arm wielding the sword. This is important. Blackwater is now building an air force. Yes, security company Blackwater USA is buying Super Tucano light combat aircraft from the Brazilian manufacturer Embraer. These 5-ton single-engine, single-seat aircraft are built for pilot training, but also perform quite well in counterinsurgency work. Whatever the hell that means, I guess it means ground support. These bubble canopy provides excellent visibility. This coupled with slow speed versus jets makes for an excellent ground attack aircraft. Well, I think the guy writing this article doesn't know shit about combat. Now, why would good patriots at Blackwater need airplanes that can carry up to 1.5 tons of weapons, including 12.7 millimeter machine guns, bombs, and missiles for their missions in Iraq? Of course, because, you know, the world's largest military merely owning everything that flies over a third world country isn't enough in the way of air superiority. And he goes on and gets all snooty about it. But the truth of the matter is, Blackwater is getting an air force. A mercenary, privately funded air force. How interesting is that? More and more every day, I'm seeing things like the World of Rifts and Cyberpunk and all the games I used to play when I was a teenager becoming a reality. How long before the dock wagons show up, eh? How long before that happens, I wonder? Now, something straight out of Rifts. For those of you who are used to throw dice and perhaps still do, there is a class inside of Rifts, one of my favorites, called the Juicer. And the Juicer is a chemically enhanced Superman. They live about 5 years, and then they say they usually die. But actually, what all that happens usually is you go full Borg conversion and you don't die. But anyway, in nanite news, now the Juicers have this little metal pack that sits on their chest that have robots that will go through their bloodstream and heal wounds when they're hit, so they heal at like an accelerated rate. Great fun in the game. You're basically Wolverine. A microscopic robot. Now, this is in Nanite News. These little robots in Rifts were called Nanites. Now, this is the true story. In microscopic robot Nanite News, a microscopic robot small enough to travel through blood vessels has been built by scientists. Less than a millimeter in size, the robot walks like a crab on 6 legs and is designed to clear blocked arteries. Welcome to beta. It was produced by researchers at Chonam National University in Korea, who founded the robot, was able to travel, who found the robot was able to travel 55 yards in a week. That's a lot of distance. Once inside the blocked artery, it's able to release drugs to dissolve blood clots, which are often the cause of heart attacks. The robot has three short front legs and three longer back legs, which are attached to the central rectangular body. Just in case you happen to find one in your house, now you can identify it. By attaching grafted heart muscle to the legs, scientists found that the legs would bend as muscle cells contracted. The cells get their energy from the sugar in the patient's blood. Good God. So this isn't really a nanite. This is like a micro android. That means the robot does not need an external power supply. It lives on your blood, which is often heavy and cumbersome, if not impractical. So we built robots that live on blood, in your own blood. They're like little pets. They're like synthetic, you know, android sea monkeys. You know, who doesn't like sea monkeys? They're like blood monkeys, soon to be bucket monkeys. But anyway, because of the robot's three front legs and a shorter back legs, they bend inwards as the heart muscles contract, creating different friction that pushes the robot forward. Using cells from the patient's own body, perhaps from their own stem cells, would also reduce the likelihood of the body producing an immune reaction. I think we should sell kits for this. I think you should be able to make your own blood monkeys at home. Hey, Mom, I want a blood monkey kit so I can make sure I'll always be safe. And if anyone ever cuts me, my blood monkeys will heal me. Hooray! Wow, somehow that's just too incredibly twisted even for me. In slavery news! Gotta get through this. Thanks to Merrill, who sent me this story. The Transportation Security Administration and the Department of Homeland Security are quietly pushing for a set of crazy new rules. What are those wackos down at Homeland Security doing? Well, all travels in the U.S. will be required to get government-issued credentials and official clearance before every flight, both within the United States as well as internationally. Oh, snap! You didn't! Yes, that's right. It's papers, please, if you want to travel within your own country. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that this would happen today? A great movie you need to watch called Firefox. Fantastic scene in there where they're trying to show how evil the KGB is by people, you know, asking everyone for papers. And how far is that from what's going on today? And Monday, we received, back to the story now, a new political action alert from Edward Hasbrook, the practical nomad blogger who's been fighting the plan, who testified about a TSA hearing. The International Advanced Passenger Information System rules were published as final, effective February 19th, 2008, with no further opportunity for public comment, even on the changes for the original proposal. End quote. Thanks for calling. You would be bitched. You're done. Okay? Buddy who's brought this to the attention says this is a very ominous development. No kidding. The Department of Homeland Security can now evade debate on similar elements of the secure flight proposal. This is all coming down the pipe. You may as well want to get this going inside your own head so you can take a look at it, because let me tell you, understand, this is what's happening. I don't think we're going to be able to stop this one. I think what we're going to do is we're going to have to wait for this to try to ride its way out, and then we're going to have to pick up the pieces. Okay? It's important that we speak out about it. It's important that we understand it's wrong, but you know, we need to understand also that you keep your names off the list so that those of us who need to be able to infiltrate to make a positive change don't all wind up in the camps. You see where I'm going with this? Now in brain spin news, this is from Lauren Law. This story just freaks me out. Studies have shown that the amount of formal education individuals can have can delay the onset of Alzheimer's. And we know this. If you speak multiple languages, Alzheimer's is held off. But check this out. A recent study published by the Journal of Neurology suggests that once memory loss has begun, the rate of loss increases among those with more education. So, you know, you can stave it off. But if you're smart, you're going to forget everything once you get Alzheimer's. Oh, yeah, it makes your brain burn faster if you have Alzheimer's. Are you fucking serious? Are you even shitting me? Like, give me a break. That doesn't even make sense. Okay, you know, you might have like a, you know, what have you got here? Well, let me see your data sample on that, because I'm going to call bullshit on that. They're not even too sure what Alzheimer's is. Okay, they're not even sure that whether Alzheimer's and mad cow disease might even be the same thing. There's so much out there on this. This is just plainly crap. And so, you know, I'm sorry, education is a good thing. Learn to speak three languages, you'll live longer. All kinds of studies show it. This is just crap. And the fact that they're trying to, like, play this off as information or knowledge or some kind of data just makes me sick. But anyway. And in profitable surveillance news, you want to talk, this was sent to me by Nephilim. Good work, Nephilim. Now, you want to talk about a great story? Here's a fantastic story. You want to talk about the arm that wields the sword. Although the scope of surveillance conducted by Foreign Intelligence Service Act remains shrouded in secrecy, newly disclosed documents show the costs one company charges for the government to eavesdrop on its customers. Because companies are in it to make money. They are sociopathic. So Comcast, among the nation's largest telecommunication companies, charges $1,000 to install a FISA wiretap. And $750 for each additional month. Authorities want to keep an eye on suspects, according to the company's handbook on for law enforcement secrecy news obtained. Documents published it on Monday. So, you know, if you want to watch people, that's okay. That's okay if you want to watch people. You bet. It only costs you $1,000. And $750 everyone after that. Hey, sometimes we can do a budget deal. Maybe we should sell these, like, cell phone contracts, you know? I'd be like, hey, surveil the first 10 people free for the first year, and it's only $19.95 every month after that. Maybe capitalism will make, you know, the farming of our own lives that much more efficient and cost-effective. And now, the coup de grace. The real winner of the day. This is the greatest story, I think, of the whole lot. Never mind Blackwater getting in the Air Force. Never mind that. No, 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 no. Here's the money. The U.S. House of Representatives recently passed H.R. 1955, titled The Violent Radicalization... Sorry, I want to get this right. It's called The Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007. Now, this is what I've been talking about ever since I started going on the air. This is exactly why I didn't talk about weapons and patrolling. This is why it's not a good idea to promote violence. This is why we have to understand forgiveness. This bill, which I've seen coming for a while, showed up. This bill is one of the most blatant attacks against the Constitution yet, and actually defines thought crimes as homegrown terrorism. If passed into law, it will establish a commission and a center of excellence to study and defeat the so-called thought criminals. Unlike previous anti-terror legislation, this bill specifically targets the civilian population of the United States and uses vague language to define homegrown terrorism. Amazingly, 404 of the American elected representatives from both the Democratic and Republican parties voted in favor of the bill. There is little doubt that this bill is specifically targeting the growing patriot community that is demanding the restoration of the Constitution. First, let's take a look at the definitions of the violent radicalization of homegrown terrorism as defined in Section 8998A of the bill. The definition of violent radicalization uses vague language to define the term of promoting any belief system that the government considers to be an extremist agenda. Any belief system that is considered to be an extremist agenda. Since the bill doesn't specifically define what an extremist belief system is, it is entirely up to the interpretation of the government and, therefore, the media. Considering how much the government has done to destroy the Constitution, they could even define Ron Paul's supporters as promoting an extremist belief system. Literally, the government, according to this definition, can define whatever they want as an extremist belief system. Essentially, they have defined violent radicalization as a thought crime. The definition of this bill, the definition as defined in the bill is shown here. And this is a quote. Quote from the bill. Violent radicalization. The term violent radicalization means the process of adopting or promoting an extremist belief system for the purpose of facilitating ideology-based violence to advance political, religious, or social change. Now, the term here is violence-based violence. Facilitating ideology-based violence. This is why WOGs are not violent. This is why I've been very, very careful to avoid anyone who's a fan of mine ever being violent. Do not be violent. This is bad. When I was a young guy doing a lot of rants, being really crazy, yelling, screaming on a microphone, sure, that's a good idea. Hey, it's funny. Right on. But when it gets to this level of seriousness, it's something we need to be aware of so that we can prepare our country and our community and our continent for the next generation so that we won't all wind up growing up in refugee camps. just sort of an idea. And there's a guy I met some time ago, I've talked about this guy before, who's got the right idea regarding this. His name is Alex. Alex Peak is his name, and he started an organization called Empower Thyself. Now, if I, back in the day, everyone asked me about cult, and everyone asked me about what cult was, blah, 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 okay? If I was to do cult again, I would do it exactly the same way that Alex has done with Empower Thyself. It is a brilliant, brilliant organization. It's all about self-empowerment, promoting the self, promoting yourself, WOG-based belief system, very, very smart. I've got a link for today as your daily hack, and believe me, go there. Don't brush it off. Take a look. If you believe in the kind of stuff that I talk about, take a look at what Alex has got going on there. Take a look at what that organization has to offer, and then make a decision on your own. Make your own decision about what direction you want to go with. And as a resource, Alex has got an amazing, amazing website he's built. And that is theempowerthyself.com. Very, very clever. Big fan of the guy. Alex, you're an inspiration. You really are, man. And so much so that I just went down there to check out what he was doing. I want Vavrick to get a hold of the guy. He's just an awesome, awesome dude. And what they're doing there, I'd hope, you know, Alex, I hope some people come down and check your stuff out. And I hope that, you know, me advocating you, because I'd totally advocate Alex. I do. I think he's the real deal. He's not bullshit. He's not going to sell it out. Alex is one of those kind of guys who wouldn't kill for his beliefs, but I think he'd die for them. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive in this crazy world. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the WOGs Who Care. And if you cannot donate, please distribute. Please give this show out. Please send this show to people. Please make the show available in our C-Rooms channels. Get it out to people in foreign countries. If you're living in Sweden, Denmark, Czechoslovakia, Russia, whatever, and people just want something in English to practice the language, Japan, I don't care. Give them the show. It's free. Give it away. It's all about understanding there is one race on the planet. It's the human race. We're all brothers. I don't care what your skin color is. We got to get past all the divisive stuff and get into the forgiveness stuff. If you'd like to donate to the show, please send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M, 2M4. I also wrote a book. It's called The Scab Wings of Abaddon. You can buy it at Lulu Press. Sim, who's James, wants me to promote the book. So, you know what? If you guys want to read one of my books, you can go there. Bloodstained Rabbit isn't available anymore. The people who bought it originally, that's it. There's no more ever coming out. So those people have them. They're the ones who have them. But Scab Wings of Abaddon is probably the greatest thing I ever wrote, which is kind of sad when you consider how many spelling errors are in the book. But it's a good read, and you probably would enjoy it. Anyway, I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, please, you can reach me at newsreel@ranradio.com. If you like music, check out some Psytrance. Good stuff. And I'm going to fade out now with a track from Alex on his radio show. This is a track he sent in. I hope I've got enough space here. Very, very clever, and it's what Empower Thyself is all about. I gotta go. I'm running out of time. Remember, everyone, we'll never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. Until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
This is not a song. These are not just lyrics. This is not for dancing. This is not a test. Need more than aesthetics. We have a solution. Clocks change like genetics. Time for evolution. Time for evolution. Sure, there may come a moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against, with scant chance of survival. There is the worst case. You may have to fight, no hope of victory, or become slaves. Stop evolution. I'll hinder you if I may. When you speak truth. species you've got. Extinction or adaptation. Survive's an option. Change is not.